expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is 8 minutes past the hour. Today is September 11th. It is the 10th anniversary, as you've been hearing from our coverage this morning, of the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington and in a field in Pennsylvania, where more than 3,000 Americans gave their lives in what was a horrific terrorist attack. So normally on our show, we would talk about the news of the day. Maybe even on an anniversary like this, not this one, I would, in past years, I would have talked about how far we've come or not financially in the 10 years since we had those terrorist attacks in 2001. Today, though, I think we have been hearing, we heard Clark Howard and Sean Hannity and Neil Bortz just now, Mark Arum, talk about some of their memories and what they're thinking about. I wanted to open up the phone lines. We only have an hour today. Because of the way all the special programming has happened on the station, I want to open up the phones. I'm sure that you have some things you want to say about September 11th, and I want to give you the opportunity to do that. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet something if you like. I'm at Glink and following Twitter, as I always do during the show. Send me an email at thinkglink.com as well. I've been thinking, and Sam and I took a walk this morning. It's a beautiful day in Chicago, which is where I'm broadcasting from today. There are memorial services going on all over our town that we live in and in downtown Chicago. There have been a day of remembering, starting in Washington, D.C. There was a very moving picture of President and Mrs. Obama as they stood beside the just-finished memorial, which I had not seen before. There's a really interesting picture on the New York Times homepage. And it looks like a well, a square bath, and goes down, and the names of those who have died is ringing the top of it. I thought that was very moving. But there are all kinds of things going on all over the place. And I was thinking back to where I was 10 years ago. And on the Sunday after September 11th, when the world was in chaos and the skies were shut to air traffic, and I had been at WGN-TV, where I was an on-air money reporter, literally round the clock for 4 or 5 days. I came on the show, and we had 4 hours, as I recall, maybe even longer, of conversation about September 11th and updating the news as it was coming out of New York with the buildings, having crashed and what that was meaning. And I remember that whole week just being a blur. It was a blur of exhaustion. I was actually... The towers were struck at 7:46, and I had just come off the air doing my regular weekly segment, my morning show segment for WGN, on basically how to sell your house faster. And I was at the news desk, the assignment desk, which in most newsrooms, if you've never been in a newsroom, there's an assignment desk at the front, and then everybody kind of sits in a cube farm in front of that. And ringing the ceiling are maybe 20, 30 monitors, and each monitor is tuned to a different station around the country, so you can see what's going on news-wise or talk show-wise, whatever time of day it was. Behind the desk is another 4 or 6 monitors, and I actually watched, I don't know why we had a monitor trained on one of those buildings, but I literally watched the plane fly into the building, and I remember screaming, "Oh my God, somebody crashed into the World Trade Center." I mean, I just shrieked it. And so what happens in newsrooms during newscasts is that everybody's sitting at their desk, right, and they're really focused on their computers because it's a 3 or 4 or 5 hour morning show. You're busy writing the script for the show as things are going on. You're getting, you're updating news stories, and you've got special segments, and somebody's got to write all that stuff. And so there's usually like an area of writers and producers, and nobody is looking at television sets. And by the way, in addition to the ones behind the assignment desk and ringing the whole room, everybody has a television on their own desk. So newsrooms have like, I don't know, thousands of TVs, it feels like. Everybody's got a TV or two to play with. And everybody looked up, and I just pointed, and everybody was watching the World Trade Center smolder. And it was just this moment of complete silence. And then somebody said, oh my God, we've got to take that. And they called the control room and they switched over to the feed. And they, you know, they basically, I had just been at the World Trade Centers for a conference. So there was all these new, do you remember how they were talking about all these new and improved security systems? They put it in. It was like you literally had to give over your firstborn to get into the building. And so I went back into the newsroom, into our set, and I sat down and we started to talk about what that was like and how that could have, how this could have happened. And I just remember that day as being something just so extraordinary. My kids were at school. I called Sam. I said, turn on the TV. The World Trade Centers were just flown into. And, you know, he went and he got our kids and he brought them home. And it was just the beginning of a panic. I don't think I got home till 10 or 11 o'clock that night. Everything had gotten shut down. It was constant news. And I'm sure the newsroom at WSB TV was in exactly the same situation that we were in. I think newsrooms across the country were completely shocked. And in at WGN, there was a marvelous guy who was filling in for the main anchor. I mean, it was September 11th. The guy was on vacation in London. He didn't get home for 3 weeks. But Randy Salerno stepped up, and he and Roseanne Tejas, who was the anchor at the time, they did unbelievable duties. I mean, they were on the air from 5 o'clock in the morning anyway, or 6 o'clock when our news started at the time. I don't think they gave it over to the evening shift until somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were literally on the air 24-7 for about 2 or 3 weeks. So that's where I was. I'm wondering where you were and how you're feeling now 10 years later. I remember we talked about this. We had some people over for dinner Friday night, and I was saying how I would just be glued to the news. And then I got so panicked. Do you remember how panicked we all felt? Just panicked about it, and to the point where I finally had to say enough. And somewhere around 2 or 3 months after it happened, I couldn't watch any more news. I was just crying nonstop. I was so depressed about it, and I was covering it during the day and watching it at night. It was really hard. And I started rereading the Harry Potter series. She was, I don't know, I think J.K. Rowling was only at, like, maybe halfway through that at the time, but I just remember reading them over and over again. They were engaging, and it was very calming and peaceful, and Sam would say, oh my God, did you see this? I said, don't even tell me. I'll just read about it in the morning when it's a little bit less new and fresh. But September 11th affected all of us. It was a huge financial story. It was a huge real estate story. And it just changed how I thought about real estate and financial news forever, really. I mean, there were so many permutations of what had happened, so many lives lost. It was just absolutely tremendous what had happened. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are remembering September 11th today. It's a live show. The lines are wide open, folks. You're probably just sitting here listening to me talk a little bit about this. But, you know, if you want to join this, make this a conversation. I'm happy to talk about this for the next, you know, hour. We'll start talking about real estate if you don't want to talk about this. But I just feel like if you want to remember September 11th and how far we've come, 404-872-0750, the lines are open. President Obama read a piece of scripture this morning from Psalm 46, and I think it makes sense to just sort of reread it here to you now. He read, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. And then he read that, and then they chimed the bells at 8:46 Eastern Time, which is the moment that the first jetliner struck the North Tower. And as I've said, and maybe I've told the story, but not for many years, I was so touched by personally by things that happened that day. My brother-in-law was at his office at the World Trade Center, thankfully got out. My sister would normally have been at her office across the street from the World Trade Center, a building that was literally destroyed. Fortunately, it was voting day in New York. She didn't go in on time. So there were lots and lots of people that I knew there that it was very terrifying that day. Stuart joins us on the line. Stuart, where were you 10 years ago?
Elise, this is a very interesting show. I'm glad you're doing this. I had spent 11 years in the military, and I got out in February of 2001, and I worked as a contractor for the Army. And are you familiar with in the D.C. area the commuter ride share, commuter ride?
Sure. Called
Slug Lanes.
Mm-hmm.
I had slugged to work and gotten off at the Pentagon. I was standing in the parking lot debating whether to go into the building and go have breakfast with some friends of mine. And I said, no, let me get on the subway and go back down to my office. And literally 45 minutes later was when this all happened.
Wow.
And it just, I was shocked at everything, but I was also shocked at, you know, standing in the parking lot making that decision, you know, it probably saved my life because the area that the friends of mine were was right where the plane hit.
Were they injured or killed?
There were several people that I knew that were killed.
Oh.
And
I'm so sorry.
It still affects me to this day, but it's just... It never ceases to amaze me how I think God intervened in my life and saved me from that.
My brother-in-law, my husband Sam's brother, had his offices on the 78th floor of the World Trade Center North.
Mm-hmm.
Plane hit at like 82. My brother-in-law's floor was the transfer floor, the last transfer floor. So the way that they worked it, you know, you went up several floors and... You would get off and transfer in between, right? And he came in late that day, same thing, just came in a little bit later, but his whole team was already there. And they had the only first aid kit. Now, where the plane went in, that was like Cantor Fitzgerald, nobody was getting down. But the people who are like, say, 82 to 78 started making their way down, and his people were helping them. And... What ended up happening is one of his employees was literally, they were just helping and trying to get people back to the way they were going to go down. And she literally came out, was by the blast of when the building started to collapse. She was one of the last people out, kind of blew her out. She came out nearly naked. And the building came down and started running, and the building literally came down behind her, and she ended up... Okay, my brother-in-law was on a train heading downtown, and the train got stopped, literally under the water. But it's remarkable to me, Stuart, and I'm so glad you called to share that story, how many people, how much personal stuff you get touched and you feel. Like my first cousin now, Larry, works in the basement of the Pentagon, and... He texted us the other day. He's like, all of us are out in the parking lot again when they thought that they had had a, you know, situation there. And it was just a reminder. This is a couple of weeks ago. So everybody's already thinking about September 11th. And it's just absolutely on everybody's mind so much. Thank you for sharing that story. It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm amazed. There are so many people on hold who are there. They're going to share their stories. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour, September 11th. We've had special coverage all day here on News Talk WSB. I have just a one-hour show today, sort of following on the heels of Sean Hannity and Clark Howard, Neil Bortz, Mark Arum, and Jamie Dupree from D.C., who we rebroadcast a conversation that they had on Friday about September 11th and where they are. And I wanted to give everybody an opportunity today to talk about their remembrances and where they were and how they feel about it 10 years down the line. And I regret that we only have an hour today because this is something I think we could spend all afternoon talking about. And I know you've gotten bombarded with all kinds of these memories. But I want to give you the opportunity as much as I can to do all the talking in the second half hour. 404-872-0750. We have a couple of people holding. There's room for a few more. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you guys take this over and start this as a real conversation so that we can hear what you're thinking today on September 11th. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour on this special edition of the Elise Glink Show. It's September 11th, all day on WSB. We've had coverage of what's been going on in Washington and Pennsylvania. But now we want to turn it over to you, because I spent a little bit of my hour talking about where I was. Now I want to hear where you were. And Beth joins us on the line from Cumming. Beth, where were you on September 11th, 10 years ago?
Hi, I actually worked a block from the World Trade Center in the Marriott Financial Center Hotel, so I was a block away.
Wow.
On 9/11.
Were you already at your desk?
Yes, I was actually the manager on duty that morning, and so I was in the lobby greeting people as I did every other day, and all of a sudden this man walked in the hotel. His head was bleeding. He said there's been some sort of explosion. I didn't know what it was. Our hotel was under renovation at that time, so I walked outside thinking it was something from our hotel, and I walked outside and it was a war zone. There was a police car right out in front of our hotel on fire.
Wow.
And there was just indescribable things that I saw, things that had fallen from the plane, I can only assume, just body parts, and just it was unimaginable.
You know, it's interesting because my brother-in-law left his office. They were all in a daze. They actually watched it hit. The way that their offices were, they had a morning meeting, and those buildings were mirrored. And so in the mirrored reflection, they could see the World Trade Center and the plane hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately got up and they went out, and there was an engine. He went to go find my sister, and her building had been completely, like, shorn off. Her office where she sat was untouched, and right next to it, the whole side of the building had been shorn away.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't even get there because there was a jet engine in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Things like that that had fallen, and he looked up, and of course he saw people hanging out and falling out of the building, and it was just, I'm sure for you as well, those are images you just are never going to forget.
Never forget. And it's not only the images, it's the noises. When I was finally able to evacuate, I literally walked outside of our building, again, a block away from the South Tower, which was the first one to fall. No sooner did I set foot outside, the first building started to fall. And the noise of that building crumbling right in front of my eyes is something that I'll never erase from my mind either. And at that point, that's when I started running. And
I wonder how loud was it?
It was pretty intense. It was very loud. It was like something you would see in a movie. It was just steel crumbling. I can't even describe it, but it's a sound I'll never forget.
Wow. Beth, I really appreciate that you have shared with us this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing this. It's good to remember.
It is good to remember. Have a good Sunday afternoon and the rest of your Memorial Day. It's 40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. If you're just tuning in, we're doing a special one-hour Elise Glink show. It's part of our overall coverage of September 11th here on Newstalk WSB. And we're opening up the phone lines. If you've got something to share, you were there, you want to remember where you were, or something that you want to say about the future, please call. There are some open lines, 404-872-0750. Jatika is on the line with us now from Atlanta. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Elise. I am a native of New York City. I was born in Harlem. And a month before 9/11, I took my girlfriend, who was born in south of Georgia, to New York City for her birthday. And we stayed across the street from the World Trade Center. We went in to have lunch in the food court, and she was ordering food, and the guy who waited on her was from another country, and he looked at her and he said, "Oh my God, your accent is so funny." And she said, "Well, I'm from Georgia," and she said it in this wonderful southern accent. And he kept calling his friends over, "You got to hear this woman. She sounds so wonderful. She's so beautiful. Listen to her voice." And she just loved it. She said, "But all of you are from other countries. Well, how do you think I sound funny?" On 9/11, it was Gina who called me to say, "Turn on your TV. The World Trade Center was hit." And we were sitting there, and she said to me, I will never forget this, she said, "The people that we met, do you think they got out in time?" And I said, "Gina, I'm sure they did." And we just cried. We just cried because she had a link to people that she had met, and she wondered. She'd never see them again, had never seen them before, but she thought about these four or five people who were all born in other countries, who lived in New York City, because, you know, New York City is
melting
the capital
pot.
Of, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing she thought of is, do you think they all got out in time? And I said, Gina, I'm sure they did. And I just wanted to share that. And I think in the world we live in now, it is a really good time to start learning more about our neighbors, about our friends. We look different. We act different. We worship different. But this is a great time to start saying, you know what? I want to find out more about who you are. And let's put aside the madness and find out how we can just be friends.
I think that's such an incredible takeaway. That story, I have chills on my arms from your friend and your story about connecting across culture, across food, just across a simple transaction for a couple of bucks, that we can make a connection that stays with us our whole lives.
And that stayed with me. And I got to tell you, I'm a black woman from New York, from Harlem. She's from South Georgia. And we have been friends for 20 years. And
nice.
I value that friendship so much that whenever she and I talk about politics, we are radically different on politics. But our friendship is so solid that we can discuss things. And I hope that one day this country becomes just like me and my best friend, Gina. And I just want to leave that with you and your listeners. Thank you so much for allowing me to share it.
Thank you, Jatika. That's a great name, by the way. I deeply appreciate your call and the sentiments, because I think it is the only way this country is ever going to be able to move forward, and we really need to do that. It's a special Elise Glenk show today on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Everyone sharing their memories and their thoughts about 9/11. It affected all of us somehow, some way. Renee joins us on the line from Beaufort. Hi, Renee. Welcome to today's show.
Hello.
Hello.
I was actually landed in Italy that day, 4 hours before it happened.
Wow.
Yeah, I was with my family, my husband's family. We were visiting my father-in-law's relatives. He's from Italy. And we got to the hotel, we're jet lagged. 2 hours later, my father-in-law's running to our room. Check out the TV. Something happened in New York. We had turned on the TV. I couldn't speak Italian. Saw the second plane go in. And we're like, what's going on? Are we going to come back to no United States? How are we going to get back? It was a very scary moment over there in Italy.
How many days were you able to come back when you were supposed to? Because the airspace was closed for a long time.
Yes. We were actually going to be there for 3.5 weeks. We were visiting relatives. And, three days later, we found out that there was two other planes that crashed. We didn't know for 3 days.
Wow.
We just only knew over there in Italy, they were only showing the World Trade Center and the two planes that went to the World Trade Center. And when we got to his father-in-law's village is when we found out that there was two other planes that crashed. And my mother called 3 days into it. She finally got through, and she's like, you're going to have to go through Nova Scotia. You ain't going to be able to get back here. And I'm like, we will. Eventually, we will get back there.
Right.
But it was scary. It was my first time overseas. I had to get a passport and everything. And then this happened. And I was scared to death. I was afraid I was never going to see my mom and my dad and my sisters and my brothers ever again. It was a scary moment.
It is really terrifying when these kinds of things happen and you just don't have any control over where you are and where you get to go. We're so used to having that kind of independence and control. It's so celebrated in this country. And when it's taken away from us, I think it really wakes us up to the idea that there are bigger evil forces out there. We think that the evil forces are, you know, things like politics or, you know, oh, we demonize people that don't agree with our own feelings. But truly, there are evil forces that intend harm far beyond the scope of anything that's imaginable, and it does change the way that you are and the way you feel about things. Renee, thank you so much for your call and for sharing today. Lori joins us on the line from Atlanta. Lori, welcome to the special edition of the Elise Glink Show.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thinking about a lot of people today who thankfully all made it out of those burning towers and around those buildings. What about you?
I actually lived in Connecticut at the time that the attack on 9/11 occurred and was working for Home Depot in Fairfield, Connecticut. And one of our employees had come into the building saying, "You won't believe what's happened. Somebody's flown a plane into one of the towers in New York." And it didn't really sink in. It was very hard to understand what on earth he was saying. So we quickly turned on a TV so we could access the news. And while watching what was going on and hearing the information that was unfolding, we were able to see the second plane hit the tower, hit the next tower.
Yeah.
And it was you flinched and you were in shock to see something like that. And to know that something like that was happening on your homeland, it became quite clear at that point that something devastating was happening. And all I can say is one thing that I'm very proud of is our local fire departments in Fairfield, Connecticut, actually pulled up to the store at some point during that morning, and we were able to give them so many supplies that they were able to take to the World Trade Center for cleanup and to try to help with trying to recover people and find survivors. And I remember watching the news later on after I was able to get home to see that all these orange buckets and a row of people that were trying to clear debris. And it made me very proud for where I worked and what we were able to give to that effort. And I was very proud of our local fire department that they went in without question to help a neighboring city.
Yeah, the first responders, I have to say, are some of the most incredible, courageous people in the world. The first responders for New York, they came in, and it wasn't just, you know, the fire departments or the police departments from everywhere, from that whole area, they rushed in to try and help, but it was also just people, just your average everyday people who tried to help and to move pieces of smoldering ruin to try and help save lives and figure out what was going on. Those people are people we should be celebrating today as well. And we memorialize them, those who didn't make it, and of course those who did. 404-872-0750. Lori, thank you so much. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, September 11th, 10 years later. I'm Elise Glink. We've been doing a special show this hour on News Talk WSB, letting you drive the conversation about 9/11. I told you what my stories were. Now we want to hear yours. Katie joins us on the line from Atlanta. Katie, where were you on 9/11?
I was actually in the eighth grade at Loganville Middle School when it happened, and our teacher from the next floor always had the news on every morning after the announcements, and we do the Pledge of Allegiance. And she comes running in and turns on our TV and says, "The World Trade Center has been hit. The World Trade Center has been hit." About 5 minutes after that, there was an announcement over the intercom that all the teachers were to shut their TVs off because they didn't want us to see it. And I wanted to thank the teachers of Loganville Middle for not doing that, because they understood the importance of that, of us watching that, of the history of it. And I don't know if any of them are listening, but I hope they are.
So the teachers did not listen to their principal, and they left it on, and they talked to their kids about what was happening?
Yep, they sure did.
I think that's really remarkable.
I think it is, too.
Amazing.
And now that I'm older, and, you know, at the time, I didn't really know it was going on with the teachers, but now looking back, I understand what they did, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. It's sort of, you know, amazing when somebody can buck authority like that. But My husband brought home Alex and Michael, who were so little at the time, and he sat them down and he said, This is a historic moment in this country's life. It will change things forever. And I want to make sure you're here watching it so you feel it 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line. Thank you so much, Katie, for sharing that. It's a great way to end our hour. Sorry that our time is up, folks. I'll be back next week. Mel Robbins is next. In the meantime, my heart goes out to everybody who's been touched one way or another by 9/11. And I wish for all of you peace.